What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Let's open our Bible to the book of Galatians 1:14. Thank you. I just get somebody out of the seat a little bit. Glory to God. We can have the new King, the old King James, the original one. Amen. Glory to God. 1:4. Galatians 1:4. Amen. Who gave himself for our sins? Amen. He gave himself for our sins. Remember that word sin is plural, so it's talking about the act of sins. In some places in the New Testament, you see the word sin, right? It's talking about the nature of sin. That he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and of our Father. Glory to God. He gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil world. I like putting it this way, from the evil that is present in the world. In my session this evening, I want to briefly talk about the truth of the gospel. It has been boiling in my heart, amen. And everywhere I turn, amen, in the realm of the spirit, amen, concerning this session, I keep seeing it, amen. So I just want to yield to it the next maybe 55 minutes, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1986, right, I was in ABU, I was in Zaria. And I had an spectacular experience. I mean, one of the first, or some of those experiences I had then, that, of course, put me on the line, on the path I am in right now. And I was in a trance, and I saw a lady. The lady walked up to me, right, and she was complaining to me about everything that were happening, that was happening wrongly in his life. Amava, this lady, right, is like the Habakkuk person. Nothing was working. I mean, everything. He was having issues in her home. She was having issues with her finances. She was having issues, her health life. Everything. Her kids, everything. Now, it's interesting how you stand and somebody just tell you, loading, downloading everything to you. Then, as she was speaking in the vision, in the trance, I heard the voice said, her problem is that she does not know the truth of the gospel. I'm talking about 1986. I got born again in 1983, right? Well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1986 when I got to ABU. Though that 3 years, I was involved in the things of God in my secondary school. Got born again in my secondary school. General Amuta led me to Christ. He has gone to be with the Lord right now. He did a good job. I mean, got me involved in fellowship. Amen. He taught me choruses. So that was one of my first assignments ever in the body of Christ, to lead choruses. Amen. So I was a worship leader, believe it or not. Amen. I know some of you find it very difficult to believe it, that I let the Lord. Well, and we know we had fellowship every day. I went to a Catholic school, so there was mass every day. So when we're having mass, we the Protestant, we're always protesting. So we the Protestant, we're gathered in one place. Amen. So we're there protesting, and they'll be there having mass. So every time we are protesting, I must lead worship. Amen. So I did that. Amen. And finally, I became the president of the group. Amen. So I was involved in the things of God, but I didn't feel the Holy Ghost until I came to ABU, right? I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I now had this experience. So that phrase, truth of the gospel, I did not even understand what it meant. No, I didn't. There was this brother Chijoke. He was serving. He had come from the east, and he was serving in ABO. So we're involved with him. Great, one of the greatest teacher of God's word I have encountered with. He taught God's word very well. So I told him, I said, the experience I have. He said, write it down. He said, I should get a notebook. And thank God for his advice. Got a notebook, I wrote it. And I started writing all the experiences I was having. Because I kept having some experiences with God then, even though I was very, very young, both physically and spiritually. And I did not really know much about them. But over the years, the Lord started opening my eyes to understand those experiences I had then and what it means. And now, of course, years back, God has been dealing with me about this. That lady there in the vision represents the body of Christ. Body of Christ is referred to as virgins. Amen. Born again Christians. Now, a lot of born again Christians, and I say that strongly, born again Christians. I am not talking about those who are not born again. Amen. This is ABC, right? Believers, Abuja, believers, convention. It's a believers meeting. Maybe there are people who are not born again here, yes, but then majority of us should be born again. And many people who are born again are having issues in their life, having issues in their finances, having issues in their home, having issues in the things that God has placed in their hands. Maybe ministry, maybe business. Call it. And the Lord said that the reason is that they don't know. They are not founded. They are not continuing in the truth of the gospel. The unfortunate thing is that a lot of time you see Christians like that, then they are leaving the gospel and they are going out to look for solution. They are looking for, okay, what is there for me to do to get out of this mess? Are you still with me? And there was a king in the Bible, his name is Asa, and had an issue with his legs. And he sent, and this is the picture of many Christians, and he sent his boys to go outside the covenant, to go outside the covenant for healing. And many of us are going outside our covenant for solution. Amen. Hey, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing in the covenant? Is there no restoration of home in the covenant? Is there no financial prosperity in the covenant? Amen. People are stepping out. And the prophet came and met him and said, go and tell your master that because he has stepped out of the covenant to go and look for help, he will not recover from his problem. He will die in that sick bed. And he did. It's so burning in my heart for we, the body of Christ, to be firmly founded, to be rooted in the truth of the gospel. Glory to God. Back to my scripture. Thank you. He said, he gave himself for our sins. Glory to God. He gave himself for our sins, that he may deliver us from the evil that is present in this world. Hey, listen, our deliverance is in the fact that Jesus gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. When you look at scripture carefully into two, you discover that when he's talking about Jesus' dying, he always said he died for our sins. He died to take away our sins. your weaknesses. Sin is also can call as a weakness. Your shortcomings, your failures. Glory to God. Please give me 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. Come on, come on, come on. Get excited. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel. You know, I just have some few minutes to do this. So I'll be a little bit faster and I'll jump. But listen, you will see phrases like that in God's word, which you need to pay attention to. The gospel. The truth. The word. Amen. It's referring to one thing, which is what we are discussing about. Glory to God. What he did for us is a particular thing. See, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Not just words. Glory to God. It's not just words. So you open your Bible and read every place and expect faith to your jump up. Yes, I know that God's word, every God's word is alive and can breathe faith into you. But you have to realize that every God's word, right from Genesis to Revelation, if you look at it carefully and God will give you revelation, you will see Christ in it. What Christ have done for us, you will see it in it. Amen. And that is, it is you feeding on that, that faith rise up in your heart. Glory to God. I was considering that story, that's some years back now, but I considered that story of how the children of Israel came against this particular king, and God had told them, look, everything is going to be completely destroyed. And this king stood up and he got mercenaries, he got special forces, right? The way they call it nowadays. He called special forces and they went against and they could not break through. So he stood up and took his only son who was to rule in his stead, his first son, who was to rule in his stead, and he killed him, made a sacrifice. And the Bible says that there was a great indignation against Israel. I don't know about you. For many years, that scripture has troubled me. I say, Lord, you were the one that told the children of Israel to go against them. Why would this man make a human sacrifice? And indignation will rise up against Israel. You know, a lot of people like giving their own interpretation to it. None of that really satisfied me. Or did the Lord tell me something? He said, that is a picture of him giving his son for us. His son, who is to rule in his place, Jesus Christ, who is his only, Bible call him the only begotten. He took him for our sake, sacrifice him. Now, sir, there is indignation against every enemy that have risen against us. Now, that satisfied me. That satisfied me. And that is a picture. You will always see Jesus in every story painted in the scriptures. Because it is the truth of the gospel. It is the gospel, the grace of God that has brought us deliverance. Are you still with me? He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you. And permit me to add this, right? Is the gospel declared? That is the beauty of how God ordained this. God ordained this, that this gospel will work when an anointed person declare it over your life. That's how it's designed to work. Jesus said that the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to declare the gospel to the poor. That is how it works. tithe, why it is important, amen, to hear an anointed person declare it. To hear an anointed person declare it. Oh, you know, it's a lot of time we go to the market or anything, we buy some equipment, then we go and look at the manual and see how it works. It's very important. If you don't know how it works, right, that thing will be there. It will not benefit you. There's something like that I have in my house, amen. Apple product. I bought it since about 4 or 5 years ago. Then I was looking for something else. So one day, just about 3 days ago, one of my brothers came to my house. He said, Ray, why are you trying to buy this thing? He said, this one is a computer. I said, no, it's more than a computer. He began to tell me what the things can do. He now said, you don't need to buy all those ones. He said, all those ones is just, you are trying to, it's like you have a Range Rover and you want to go and buy a B2, a used B2. Amen. To travel. That's the way he put it to me. My brother Abu is able to. And I said, I don't know how they work. He began to laugh at me. I said, you can laugh, but I'm the one that have it, you don't have it. Then he began to teach me. He now told me what to do. So yesterday I now came back home. Amen. Say that, and I was on it. Amen. I said, do you know? Is this strange? Because, well, but it's the truth. I didn't even know how to own it. I had to call Emmanuel. I said, Emmanuel, come. You have used this thing before. Come and own it. You know what? I've had it. I don't know how it works. So it's just there decorating my house. We need to know how this gospel works. Let me turn to the side. Maybe somebody will hear me a little bit. We need to know how this gospel works. And let's say, go to the manual. Let the manual teach you how it works. Because a lot of time, because we don't know it, we are not grounded in it. We are not schooled in it. We are just packing things along the way. We are packing things along the way. We are picking things from our culture. We are picking things from other religion. And we are trying to bring it and say, okay, this is how it will work. The gospel works by it being declared. I have seen personally, I don't use the word incredible, because Kenneth Copeland said we should stop doing that. Because incredible means unbelieving. We are believers, amen. So I can't say an incredible miracle, amen. But let me say that. I don't even say a fascinated miracle. All my words are God, amen. Awesome, thank you, sir. I've seen awesome miracles happen by declaring over people. I am an anointed. There's an anointing upon me. When I declare the gospel, it works. Amen. When an anointed, I said I wanted to hear him talk. I know. When he declares, amen, it works. That is how it's ordained to work. There was one time I was going. Bobby invited me to go and preach in Kaduna, the Air Force thing, many years ago. I went with that trip with my sister Lebai and her sister Patience. Both of them were not married then. So when we were going, and that's quite, as I was driving, I left Abuja. By the time we came to this village area, I turned behind. I look at all their faces. I just knew that they had not eaten. Knowing people are not, they are not smiling, they are just looking at you. All the joke you crack is not funny. So I now pulled over and I said, okay, people go and buy something. I think there are more people in the car, I can't remember what. I said, people go and buy something so that we can eat. They came alive. Yes, needless to say, they came alive. So they went to buy the things. So I just took my phone. I believe the Holy Ghost had led me, because I just took my phone. right? And the moment I took my phone, I also saw that there was an inbox in Facebook. So I just click on it. And I used to have a lot of inbox in Facebook. I don't do that. There's too many places to chat that if you want to do all of them, you need it's a full-time ministry, man. So for people that get angry, I say, I left a message for you for the past 1 month on your Facebook. You didn't hear. I'm just telling you so that you can know it, man. It's once in the yellow moon I go there. So I opened it. And I saw that about 10 minutes, she just sent the message, about 10 minutes. She now said that right now my sister, my mommy, my mother is on the street of Enugu, naked, mad. I'd never met her before. He said, Reverend Arome, please pray. The moment she said that, the moment I read that, the power of God came upon me. God is my witness. As I was typing, I was shaking. The power of God came upon me. And this was the word that floated out of my heart. Your mother is the healed of the Lord. That was why I stopped. It wasn't because of the food. I know that was why I stopped. We went to Kaduna. We did a program that evening. The morning one was a Saturday. I think it was supposed to start at 11 o'clock. So I woke up. I just sat down. The Air Force people were to bring food. Bobby and the people were to bring food. So I just sat around at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I opened my phone. I saw her message. She just said, I don't know your number. She sent her number. I don't know your number. My mother just returned back home. So I called the number. I could barely hear. She was shouting. I said, Madam, calm down. Say, my mom just returned home. We are asking her here. We are asking her. She said that she just woke up in the morning and saw herself naked on the street. Back to her right mind. He said, where is your next program? My next program was to be in Makurdi. I said, I have a program in Makurdi. Right? She came. Pastor Jide was there with me. He said, when they came, after I gave her the test, he said, now she's bullying all of us around. I said, that's what our mothers are supposed to do. The spoken word. The gospel declared under the anointing. Sir, it will break poverty in people's life. It will bring healing to their body, restorations to their homes. We need to know how this thing works. The truth of the gospel. He gave himself to deliver us from the evil that is present in this world. I need to build more. Give me Galatians 2. Okay, from 4. Right? Go to Galatians 2:4. Let me step down. I'm going to read 4 and 5. And that because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privately or privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Listen, anything outside the truth of the gospel brings you to bondage. I'll show you more scriptures to prove that. Any message, any teaching outside the gospel. What is this gospel now? Jesus Christ died. Reading it in 1 Corinthians 15, I stop. He died for our sins. He was buried. On the third day, he rose. Amen. Jesus Christ died. Because of his death, all your sins, all your shortcomings, all your failures have been taken away. They have been taken eternally away. The book of Hebrews says he obtained eternal redemption for us. It's eternal. is eternal. I want to say that again. It is what? Eternal. Time will not affect it. Your behavior will not affect it. It is what? Eternal. Obtain eternal redemption for us by presenting his blood in the holiest of all. Glory to God. In that, right, we are declared what? The righteousness of God in Christ. He died to forgive all our sins. He rose and declared us righteous. What is righteousness? Equality with God. I mean, we all understand it's right stance, amen. Right stance with God. Equal stance with God. Glory to God. Equality with God. Wherever to class in the UK, that was your teaching us, amen. We being what? God. Equality with God. That consciousness of who he has made you, not in your own performances, not in your what you have done, but because of Christ, who he has made you, that the consciousness of it in you, that fire burning, amen, in your soul, will cause a performance. It will cause a performance. You know, listen, this is the truth about it, right? There is a, if you look at the Old Testament, right? They're the holiest of all. Where they show bread, the ark, they show bread, everything there. Then there's an altar called, the holy place. In that holy place, right? There's a table that they show bread, amen. Then there's a lamp, candlestick and lamp. And Bible says that God commanded Moses, said that lamp should never go out. And that lamp actually is by the bread, by the showbread, and it gives light to the bread. That lamp, sir, was not supposed to go out. It's just very simple. That is our soul. Our soul. Our spirit is the holiest of all. Our soul. Light. The light of the gospel. Light shining on the bread. The light of the gospel ought to be burning continually in your soul. Your mind ought to continually, no matter what, your mind should continually be on what Christ have done for us. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The punishment of my peace, prosperity, and well-being came upon him. And with his wounds, I am healed. My eyes should constantly be on that. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned unto his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen, my iniquity are no longer on me. They were laid on Christ. All my shortcomings, all my failures were laid on Christ. I do not see them on me anymore. Say, looking unto Jesus. Hebrews will say, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. I've said it 1,001 times. Looking unto Jesus. What it means is you write J-E-S and be looking at it. Or you paint the picture of Jesus Christ. Or you buy all those pictures with a halo over him. Or spikes all over his head. Then one small drop coming down here. Then you see a heart here. Then he does like that. It become idol worshiping, amen. Don't shout me down, I'm preaching well, amen. Look unto Jesus. Well, what does that mean? I'm looking at what he has done. My eyes are on him. When I look at my spiritual life, I say, no, he was wounded for my transgression. I don't see sin on me. No. He was bruised for my iniquities. The consequence of my sin, I don't see them on me. Well, we need to learn to rightly divide the word of truth, or we'll cause problem for ourselves. I listen to a man of God I really love and respect. So name withheld. Really, really love and respect him. Then he was preaching about sin, which I have nothing against that. Then he was talking about all the things that happened to David. Then he was saying that God forgives sins, which I believe that very, very well. Then from the Old Testament, he was not insinuating from David's problem. He was not insinuating that even if God forgive your sins, you still have to deal with the consequences of it. See, God forgave David, but Absalom still started rebelling against him because of his sin. Another one raped his sister. Yes, and Absalom came and killed that one. He now started bringing all this. You see, those were the consequences of David's sin, which I agree with that. I really agree with that. I now say that because of that, even if you have sinned right now and you are forgiven, you will face the consequences of it. I say, no, sir. Not in the New Testament. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching well. If that is true, then he was bruised for my iniquity. It's not correct. Listen to me, and listen to me well. God did not just take away our sins. God took away the consequences of our sins. If you want to say amen, say amen. If you want to say amen, don't look at me and say, oh me, amen. He took away the consequences of our sins. You see, you need to realize that, you know, one of the consequences of sin is sickness. Amen. Has he not healed us? Yes, one of the consequences of sin is sickness. He told one in the book of John, say, go sin no more, or else something worse will come upon you. It's so clear. One of the consequences of sin is sickness. So if he had not dealt with the consequences of our sins, then we have no right to preach healing. We have no right to preach healing, because for every sin I have committed, for even the way I hired a ventricular, or the way I hired you, amen, even though God has forgiven me, I will pay for it. Thank you, 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 thank you. It should bring liberty, amen. It should bring liberty. You are free from the consequences of sin. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. For the consequences of my sins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give me verse 5. Of this same place. Yeah. But he was... No. We are in Galatians 2:4. Give me verse 5. Glory to God. To whom we gave place by subject alone, not for an hour. You know, that's why I went to go like, you really have a problem with King James, amen. You're just going through a long distance thing that they don't allow them into your place, in your midst. Amen. Not for an hour. No, not for an hour. That the truth, this is where I'm coming to, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. It is imperative. The truth of the gospel continue with you. It is. Because if you hear the truth of the gospel in believing, 1 Corinthians 15 that we read said it, in believing you are saved, amen. But you have to keep it in memory. Sorry, I didn't finish quoting, reading that part. Can you take me back there quickly? Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. You have to, in believing you are saved, but you need to continue. It is imperative you continue with it. When you leave church and go out there, and there in your workplaces, in your business, it is imperative you continue. This truth should be in your mind. This fire should be burning. I'm not just saying that you have a revelation in your spirit, it's part of it, but the fire should be burning in your soul. Your mind should be stayed on him. Glory to God. By which we are saved, if we keep in memory what I preach unto you unless you have believed in vain. Now listen, you can believe in vain, meaning that if you don't keep it in memory, you are believing in vain because it will not benefit you. Look at it. Say, by which also. Sorry, can you give me one again? Just give me one again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, by which you have received, which also, pardon me, you have received, and wherein ye stand. You have received the gospel, and you are standing in the gospel. Then it's at the verse 2. Verse 2. By which also you are saved. It didn't stop there. There's a condition to it. And I always tell people that if there is not italicized, nobody added it. It's part of the message. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So you see, we could stand and declare to you that you are the healed of the Lord. And you get excited, yes, I am the healed of the Lord. But when you step out, amen, you don't keep it in memory. You are putting doctor's report in front of you. Guess what? Your believing is in vain. Your believing is in vain. You need to keep it in memory. You need to work it. Like Boyo will say, you need to internalize it. That becomes your reality. That is the way, that is your way you see things. That is your perspective in life. Glory to God. You see, when you ask me about my view, say, Reverend, about finances, I tell that I am a very wealthy man. That is my perspective. That is my view. Because the word of God has entered me. The truth of the gospel, the chastisement, the punishment needful for my prosperity and well-being were laid upon Jesus. And I focus that. My eyes are on that. You see, it doesn't matter what is in my account. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the financial pressure I may be going through right now. No, sir. No, man. It does not matter. My perspective in life financially is that I am rich. I am loaded. I am loaded. I am loaded. I am loaded. I am rich. Why? Because the body of Jesus was broken for me and his blood was shed for me. I keep that in memory. I keep that in memory. I was in the airport and my wife saw me off in the airport in Heathrow, and I said, "Okay, I'm so tired, I beg." And I was to come back and go straight from that trip. I said, "No, no, I'm so tired." You know, usually they upgrade me, right? They didn't want to upgrade me. So I said, "You don't want to upgrade me, I will pay." So I came and said, "Madam, I want to upgrade myself." So she now said, "Well, it's going to be expensive." I said, "How much?" So she put that and I bought it out. And I said, "Okay." So, in answer to, if you are traveling with bag, it is more expensive, right, than if you are not traveling with bag. I said, "I don't have any checking bag." He said, "Really?" Then she now said something, right? He said, "Really?" She now said, "You must be rich." And I added, "I am rich and famous." And my wife looked at me and started laughing. I said, "Honey, am I not rich and famous? Rich, I am rich. Am I not famous? I am famous." But I say, how will you just say something like that? Because I am rich and famous. But why will you just say it? Can you hear me? Hear me again. I am rich and famous. You know, some people cannot even say it. You know why they can't say it? Because they feel like if they say it, the person they want to squeeze this evening, amen, we don't give them money. He said, "If you are rich and famous, why are you coming to squeeze me?" Come on, smile and give that person a mischievous laugh. I say, "Ha ha ha! I am rich and famous." But don't you think that would be a lie? Why will it be a lie? Tell me something. Is your experience the truth, or is God's word the truth? The word of God is called the truth of the gospel. So between the word of God and your, in quote, reality, which one is the truth? Body of Christ in church, we can always shout out the word, everything you say. But when you step out, and you face that person on the street, what are you going to say? Hey, when you face your boss on Monday, what are you going to say? Brother, blood was shed for me. And the blood that was shed for me was not the blood of a goat, a blood of a chicken. No. It was not the blood of even a sinful, unwilling man. Or maybe a sinful and a willing man. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. No, look, my eyes are on it too. My eyes are on it. I don't care your opinion. My eyes are on it. This is my reality. My eyes are on it. Even if you come tomorrow and I cannot eat. Amen. My eyes are on it. I'll still tell you. Is that the Christ, Galatians 3:13, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Christ had redeemed me. It's not going to. Christ had redeemed me from the curse of poverty. Sir, I like the 14 one. Say that. The blessing. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ, that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. No, you need to understand this blessing. No, this okpo that came upon Abraham. No, you need to understand it though, because you need to understand Abraham, before this thing happened to him, was a failure. He, even in his choices, he chose a woman that could not give birth, was barren. No matter what was happening in his own time, at the age of 70, he should not be in your father's house. He was. Maybe other people had moved out of their parents' house. They have 4 or 5 children. Do you call their name today? Do you even know they exist? They exist. Nobody talk anything about them. But this man had an encounter with God Almighty. Hey. Nobody said, I am just a born again. I had this in Yoruba. Agbayetie, something like that. You are not just a born again. You are not just a born again. You enter into a covenant with the living God. You know, I like the way God told Abraham. I'm saying a lot of things, but I like the way God told Abraham. He said, "As for me," I know I like that statement. Abraham was trying to blow some unbelief. He said, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. As for me," will I be there? Be blowing unbelief there. "This is my covenant with you." Amen. And in Genesis 15, say there. Give me Genesis 15, verse 1. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Oh, glory. And then let's do that again. Give me Genesis 15, verse 1. Glory. After these things, I don't want to go into those things. But that is Abraham, Eben, fulfilling, walking in the fullness of his covenant, bringing his tithes, eating the covenant meal. He said, after this thing, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in the vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen. I am thy great reward. I am your great reward. That word reward, there's the word salary. Pay. Check it out. I am your great salary. Billy Beam said that originally it means he is your quickly increasing money supply. God is your money. That was the covenant between Abraham. He said, I am, and from today, I am now your money. And Abraham says, he said, look, I am king of Sodom. Listen, I have lifted my hand, meaning I am in covenant with El Elyon, the most high God, possessor of the heaven and earth. No man-made system will take credit for my wealth. No! If we are still able to understand your wealth, amen, you have not started. I'm serious. A man-made system, amen, should not take credit for your wealth. Yeah. And can I tell you something? You are not a beggar. You know your covenant in Christ. You are not a beggar. Never put yourself in a place to be a beggar. I instruct you as a prophet of God, never put yourself to be a beggar. You are not a beggar.
I am not a beggar.
And if you talk like that, nobody will give you money. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It does not matter. It's not you. God is my wealth. Quickly increasing money supply. Let me tell you something, right? How much do you think you are looking for? Yeah? Somebody said 200 thousand naira or 5,000 dollars, 20,000 dollars. Listen to me. God knows a billion ways to get $1 billion into your hands. He only needs just one way. You can choose any one of it. What am I supposed to do? Very simple. Nothing. You are just looking for what to do. Nothing. Just stand in your covenant. Be conscious of what he has done for you. Be conscious of who you are. I and the Father are one. Period. If he leads you, which he will lead you, you follow. That's all. I want to speak Igala. Itakwame. That's all. The falling mentality affects people a lot. What must I do to be saved? What must I do? People are looking for what to do. The cross of the matter, listen carefully. The cross of the matter is not what you do, it's what you believe. I'll say that again. The cross of the matter is not what you do, it's what you believe. I'm not saying you should be lazy, no. The Spirit of God will lead you. But the cross of the matter is what you believe. That's why Isaiah 53 verse 1 started by shouting out, who has believed our report? He didn't say, who has done our report? Who has believed our report? Who has believed this message? Who have believed this truth? To him, the arm of the Lord will be revealed. The person will experience. I say it again, you're believing, amen, we bring the experience. You're believing, we bring the experience. And all you have to do, you have to be patient. Amen. You know, a lot of people are just, that Jesus say, short burst faith. We believe that deliver. Ah, shout him out. There's a mighty supply. Yay! Then you walk out of, the moment you are walking out, persecution and affliction will always arise for the word's sake. The moment you are walking out there, your landlord will just call you. Then you answer, I have been calling you. Why didn't you answer your phone? I was just, which church is that? That you're not answering your phone. Then immediately, landlord, that's not how to talk. You know that if I'm you, he'll be screaming off the phone. Somebody say, eh? Yes. If you call the guy, start screaming off the phone again. He said, why off the phone? I said, when you learn to talk, we'll talk. If I behave like that, that is a bad advice. If I behave like that, I will be on the street. You still don't know who you are in Christ. Where are they? That what? That what? How much? How much is the house rent? How much am I owing you? How much? That you are making noise. You want to make noise? I spoke to a lawyer some few days ago, you know. My tenancy expired in March. Money I paid 2 years. It's March. I was even planning that be December. Before I travel, I will just pay. So he wrote a letter that he was increasing the distance. I said that you return the letter, I'm not signing it. That he want to increase his come, let's sit down and talk. So he now called, answer. So he was talking. As I said, have you finished talking? He said, yes. I said, should I talk now? I say, listen to me. You are not the owner of the house. Because the owner has the right to do what you want to do. I say, first, you are not the owner of the house. You are just a lawyer handing the house. Is that clear? He say, yes. I say, two, the owner can do anything you want to do with his house. And me, the tenant, can do anything I want to do. It is my money. I say that if he want to increase the rent, they should call me, let's talk. If he doesn't want, if we agree, I pay. If I don't agree, March 17th, I move out. The moment I said that, he said, hey, wait, pastor. I said, oh, so you know I'm a pastor. He said, no, pastor, be like that. No, wait now. I am not saying that you should move out. I said, you are the people causing problem for the owners of the house. I said, you are a lawyer, but he said, yes. I said, send your letter. My lawyer will now reply you. Let's do lawyer to lawyer. He said, No. I say, send your letter. My lawyer will reply you. If you call me your house next time. And I meant it all. So today I talked to Agubah. This is how much I'm willing to add. Moreover, do you know, I got another house in town, which is ₦1,400,000 over the money he want me to pay. And I'm willing to take that one. Everybody say why? Because listen to me, I'm willing to pay for attitude. If you have a good attitude, I'll pay for it. If you have a bad attitude, I will not pay for it. Why? I am willing. I mean, the people were following me yesterday, even Ben was with us now. I mean, Ben was following around. They were even nice. Then somebody, amen, because he feels that he is okay. I forgot that my time is not plenty. Amen. Can somebody play something for me? The truth of the gospel. You know, a lot of people misunderstand something about then Peter and the 11 apostles. When they got born again, their mannerism, right? People forget something. Many of them, right, they were Jews. They all their life they have been trained Jew. So even when they got born again, they held on to the keeping of the law. Both the keeping of the law and the ceremonial part of the law, they held on to it. And I've seen some people, don't worry, I have my handkerchief here, man. And I've seen some people, right? I see some people who will go and quote some of the things they say. I say, you see, even Peter, you have to keep the law. But listen, where to divide the word of God? Rightly. Quickly, give me Acts 20 verse 32. Let me open my Acts 15 verse 5. Then you go to verse 9. But there arose a certain of the set of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, that is talking about the Gentile, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. You know, Paul entered the Gentiles, started preaching, they were getting saved. Now, some Jews now came and said, no, even though they are saved, they must be circumcised according to the law of Moses, and they must keep the law of Moses. So, a great argument rose up, which I think I'm not reading everything. So, they now all met General Assembly. They all met in Jerusalem to debate this thing. Now, jump to verse 9. I want to say something, right? Verse 8. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts, how? By faith. Not by the keeping of the law. Not by your performances. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke? I told you, anything outside the gospel is a burden, is a bondage, it is a yoke. Look at what they said. Why are you tempting God to put a yoke upon their neck, which of the disciple, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? Anyone telling you need to do another thing apart from believing God, to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered, is putting a yoke over you. And listen to me, any activity, be it spiritual or physical, that we negate the truth of the gospel in my life is antichrist. However, you still need to do and this to attain to your deliverance is anti the gospel. Don't shout me down, I'm preaching well. It is done by the anointing we receive. What is grace now? It's very simple. In the book of Zacharias, he said there, Zacharias 4, he said, what do you see? The guy described what he saw. He said, this is what I saw, but I don't understand what it means. He said, you don't understand. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Say, who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? You'll be plain. They said they went the last stone, because Zerubbabel was to build the temple. I'm looking about that, because building a temple is like building the church. The Lord said, Adam, you cannot build my church by your might or your power, by your own wisdom. Inah, my church is built by the Holy Ghost. He said, when they bring the last stone and they lay the last stone in place, they'll be shouting what? Grace! Grace! To it. This is grace now. Grace is the Holy Spirit doing things. Not your own abilities. Not your own performances. It's very simple. The price has been paid. Allow the sweet Spirit of God that is here to glorify Jesus Christ to do the performances in your life. Not by power, not by might. If you try to do your power and your might, you will be frustrated. Can we stand to our feet? Hey, thank you, Lord. I see money coming into your hands in truckload. Let me try this side. Look. God is my witness. Not up there, I planned from the house I'm coming to stay. When I say stand up, I saw it. I'm bound to declare it. But let me try this side a little bit. I see money coming to your hand in truckload in the name of Jesus Christ. Opportunities are springing up forth. Opportunities are springing forth. Opportunities spiritually, they are springing forth. Receive strength, amen, to enter and seize those opportunities in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There is a mighty supply for you. I said there is a mighty supply for you. Lift up your hands. Your hands.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.